It's here and now, and I'm broadcasting today from a city that is changing rapidly. A city that Forbes magazine just named the fastest growing city in America, a city with the fastest rate of job growth in the U.S. It is also, as you can hear, a city of roads and highways, a city of traffic, a city of heat and humidity. But this is not your grandfather's Houston.
Well, Houston was founded in this crummy little bayou, mosquito-infested swampland, and it positioned itself as the railroad capital of the middle of America, where 17 railroads meet the sea. And Houston's destiny seemed to be a transshipment point where agricultural products were brought to Houston, put on a barge, pushed along the crummy little Buffalo Bayou to the San Jacinto River to the great port of Galveston.
So Houston was sort of a second city to Galveston.
Very much a second city. And then in 1900, the world changed for Houston.
That's Rice University professor Steven Kleinberg, who runs the Kinder Institute for Urban Research.
September of 1900, the great storm that destroyed Galveston. And 4 months later, the Spindletop blew. And for the next 80 years, Houston was riding the resource of the Industrial Age. 82% of all the jobs in Houston in 1980 were tied into the oil business. Price of a barrel of oil increased tenfold in value during the 1970s. This was boomtown America until the next fully fateful date when everything changed in Houston, 1982, when the oil boom collapsed. Houston went into major recession, the worst regional recession of any part of the country at any time since World War II, in a city that had known nothing but economic boom from its beginnings until that fateful date.
And at that time, the majority population in Houston was white.
This was, throughout all of its history, a biracial southern city dominated and controlled by white men. 74% of us were Anglos, 20% African Americans in 1960s, just 6% Latino, less than 0.5% were Asians. This was a southern part of the Confederacy. And then after 1982, the Anglo population of Harris County stopped growing. And all the growth of this, the most rapidly growing city in America, has been the influx of African-Americans, Latinos, and Asians. And this biracial southern city dominated by white men has become, in the last 30 years, the single most ethnically diverse major metropolitan area in the entire country.
And the city is not as tied to oil as it once was. As Kleinberg said, back in the 80s, 82% of the jobs in Houston were connected to oil and gas. Today, that number is around 45%. Many Houstonians work in the sprawling medical complex. Others have jobs related to the port of Houston, one of the busiest ports in the U.S. Professor Kleinberg takes me for a ride through the wide avenues of Houston. Even in the middle of the day, there's traffic. And these roads are big, many lanes across and lined with strip malls. Occasionally, you'll travel underneath a massive highway. We've just gone outside of the loop.
The one first of the three big loops that define the transportation network for the city of Houston. Houston is the epitome of this new form of human settlement, called the MCMR, the Multi-Centered Metropolitan Region. So the idea of having a spokes and a center makes sense when you've got a city and then suburbs, all of whom are moving, coming into the city to work. We have 8 to 10 major centers of activity that are concentrations of workplaces and shopping places and residents that are larger than downtown San Diego, all around this gigantic, massive space that is almost as large as the entire state of Massachusetts. So the reason why you need those loops is because you're not going from just suburbs into the city, you're going from one suburb to another.
And if you live in Houston, you're probably doing that in your car. The city does have an extensive bus system and a limited light rail system, which was launched about a decade ago.
Red Line train arriving, fan and self. Please stand back from the platform edge.
In the mid-afternoon, a handful of people get off a sleek white train that snakes down the middle of the street, stopping at traffic lights. There are plans to expand the light rail, but in this city where private money is what gets things done, there are questions about the public funding needed to add miles of track. But in a county that is expected to grow by 1 million people in the next 2 decades, in a metropolitan area that is expected to grow by nearly 3 million, won't there need to be more mass transit? Even sprawling Los Angeles is building miles of train tracks above ground and below. I asked Professor Kleinberg if he thinks 50 years from now, Houston will have a subway system.
probably not a subway, but there will be much more transit and much more effective bus system. And you got to remember that L.A., the epitome of the spread-out city, has almost three times the density of Houston. L.A. is surrounded by mountains and by an ocean. Houston can grow and continue to grow and spread out. And we're going to see both more and more suburban development and more and more urban development, both within the city and in these centers. They're town centers of Sugarland and Woodlands and Pearland that are these other towns that are increasingly becoming little cities.
I know that some people are going to hear this and say, well, the reason that Houston is so different is because there's no zoning. This is a city where you could have a daycare center next to a CVS next to somebody's house. How has that impacted the development and growth of Houston?
Yeah, that's a great question. The comparison is with Dallas, that does have zoning and doesn't look that different from Houston, right? Because if you're going to put a filling station in a garage somewhere, you're not going to put it in the middle of a residential area. You're going to put it where big confluences of highways come together. So Houston has been advantaged by not having zoning in the sense of being able to build things much more rapidly with less expense and less of the permitting process going on. And now there's a growing recognition, if we're going to accommodate another 1 million people, we have to figure out a way to manage that growth. If Houston is going to be more beautiful, more green, more healthy, with another 1 million people in it, we're going to have to find ways to accommodate alternatives to the automobile. And not having zoning makes it more complicated. The saying in Houston is, no zoning doesn't mean no planning, but it does mean less effective set of tools available for the planning process.
So now we are entering this neighborhood where if you look at the strip malls on the side, where we have seen words in English and then some in Spanish, now everything is in
Chinese and Vietnamese. And all the old traditional American structures are just suddenly changed. And
we have the Sin Chow Center, J. Chong MD, the Just Go supermarket, which looks like it is an Asian supermarket.
Gigantic Golden Bank over here that is a Vietnamese bank.
Outside the car, you really start to get a sense of the diversity in this city. We're at the Hong Kong City Mall, a giant strip mall with Chinese and Vietnamese restaurants, electronic stores, clothing stores, a huge Asian supermarket where many of the patrons speak little to no English. What have you come here to buy?
Just looking.
Just looking?
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
Sorry, that's just a little bit English.
What have you come here to buy? You've got some fruits and vegetables?
Sorry, I'm not English, okay?
Okay.
Sorry.
Are you Vietnamese?
Vietnamese, okay. I'm Vietnam.
Do you get good Vietnamese food here?
Yeah, I'm not. Sorry.
Right outside the supermarket, there's a woman handing out flyers. What are you selling?
Massage. Foot massage. Body foot massage.
And where are you from originally?
From Vietnam.
From Vietnam?
Yeah.
Is it just like Vietnam?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That could be a generational thing. While many from that 1980s generation of immigrants to Houston still identify with the country they came from, their kids were born and raised here. Chloe Vo is working in the mall selling cell phone cases. She speaks Vietnamese and says her parents identify as Vietnamese first.
But I'm the opposite.
Why?
Because I was born and raised here.
Do you think you'll stay in Houston?
I think so.
Why? What do you like about it?
It's not that it's so great. It's just, I don't know, it's home. It's where everyone and everything is.
But so far, Professor Kleinberg says, the power structure doesn't reflect the new realities of Houston and of Texas. Many of Houston's new immigrants don't vote. Some are undocumented. Others are eligible for naturalization but haven't filed the necessary paperwork.
Anglos still have overwhelmingly power. It's still an Anglo world. But everybody knows that there is an absolute inevitability to this transformation. I tell people, you know, no force in the world is going to stop Houston or Texas or America from becoming more Latino, more African-American, more Asian, and less Anglo. Nothing in the world can stop that. So the only question our generation has been given is, how do we make this work? How do we ensure that this ethnic diversity becomes a tremendous asset that it can be? And much depends on education, on ensuring that these... You know, we have this bifurcated immigration stream coming to a bifurcated economy. Asians are coming with higher levels of education than we've ever seen in the history of immigration to America, much higher than U.S.-born Anglos. And the first generation have difficulty with English and are are staying in their co-ethnic enclaves, that second generation coming of age now in Houston are going to be a powerhouse.
Simon says jump five times. Now we're going to be frogs.
At the Baker Ripley campus of neighborhood centers in southwest Houston, a teacher is leading a line of kindergartners who are part of newly arrived families from all over the world, kids who likely know more English than their parents do. I asked Dean Ruby Gilbert why these families have landed in Houston.
Well, they want a new life, a new way of life. They want to grow. They want education. They want the best for their children first.
But why Houston?
Why not Houston? But Houston is, I mean, you know, it's like the old saying, the melting pot. But in the reality, they are just like other children. However we meet them from where they are, they learn and they accept the things that we have to offer them.
Tomorrow on Here and Now, we'll be back at the Baker Ripley campus of neighborhood centers. We'll meet some of Houston's newest immigrants and hear about the challenges they face. This is Here and Now.